Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Rugby Wrap-Up. Matt McCarthy at Studio 34, the Fantasy Sports Network in the Renaissance Hotel on West 35th Street. And I have the pleasure of being here with Mr. George Hook, calling in from Ireland. Coach, welcome.
Matt, I have to tell you that this is the first time I've ever been on television without a tie. And I'm doing it especially for you Americans who don't abide formality.
Well, full disclosure, Coach, if I had known that, I would definitely be in a tie right now just to make sure that you were not in a tie and I was in one.
All excited over here, I have to tell you. Women's World Cup, we're just so excited about it. We were hoping to have the Men's World Cup in a few years, but this is a big deal. Make no mistake about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And before you get into that, there's a couple of things I want to do. First of all, for the folks at home that don't know this, you've actually coached here with the Eagles. You're a rugby pundit. You're a radio host. You're a broadcaster. You're a journalist. You aren't afraid to talk about politics. If you were applying for a job today, your dream job, what would be the first four things that you would list on your resume?
The job I'd be applying for would be to replace Rush Limbaugh. So I'd be listing my broadcasting, first of all, as the greatest liberal talk radio host in Ireland, and that'd shut Limbaugh off for a while. Then the second thing I'd put on my resume is that I was the only person in the 5 million people who inhabit this island of Ireland to predict that Donald Trump would win the election.
Okay. So again, fair to say that you're not afraid to talk a little bit about politics every so often.
No, I mean, when you come to Ireland, and somebody like McCarthy knows what Ireland is like, if you come to Ireland, the guy sitting in the corner of the bar supping a pint of Guinness can probably tell you, like, what is the first Democratic primary in the presidential series in America? He can probably tell you that Albany is the capital of New York and a whole load of stuff besides. Because, well, you got to remember, there are 10 times as many people who claim Irish ancestry in America than there are Irish people in Ireland. So we know our America.
That's a very good statistic. And you know your America. I know that. And I was with you just recently in Lake Placid / Saranac Lake for the Can-Ams. You were there with Irish Rugby Tours and graced us on camera, which was a real treat for me, doing a game with you.
Yeah, well, apparently Australia is the country in the world with the most amount of animals that can kill you. I've just added to the list, it's Saranac Lake. Both my legs have finally been reduced to their normal size after the animals that bit me in Saranac Lake.
All right, and those animals weren't on the pitch, right? Because there were a lot of bruisers there.
Absolutely, at extraordinary ages. There were people my age, believe it or not, playing rugby. And now I couldn't play, you know, pool in a bar. Bending over would be too much for my arthritic body. So I'm in awe of 70-year-olds playing rugby, given that the Bible said we were only going to live to 70 years and 10.
Yeah, and we're going to have our statistician do that math right now. So here you got me doing math. You had me going back to my schooling while we were doing the broadcast. You brought up Oscar Wilde during a rugby match, Coach.
Yeah, well, I have a view about commentary generally on any sport. 75% of the people who watch sport on television don't understand it. So there's not a lot of point, in my view, if you're commentating on a game, you know, talking about the tight end, his right foot is 5 degrees out of sync with Mecca, or the wide receiver, has broken 10 seconds for the 100 meters 22 times. I think you're there for color rather than necessarily tactical appreciation.
I couldn't have said it better, my friend. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the Rugby World Cup that's taking place right in your doorstep. The Women's World Cup, it's their 8th World Cup. Some exciting stuff going on over there.
Well, I coached the Irish women's rugby team in the first ever World Cup. And there's this great phrase, out of little acorns, great oak trees grow. It's very hard to compare this World Cup with the first one that the Irish women went into, largely unprepared, I might add. But this one is interesting because we're seeing major change in the favourites, England, because the English rugby players, women, are all full-time professionals. The rugby union has decided to cancel their contracts and devote all their money to sevens rugby. And I think that is an incredibly retrograde step, because the great thing about rugby is fat people could play, thin people could play, slow people could play. Now we're going to be talking only about athletes, and that's a shame.
We saw that announcement by RFU head Nigel Melville, who used to head USA Rugby here, that they were
destroyed US rugby. He's now going to do the same thing for English rugby. He's got a good record, yeah.
Yeah, so does that translate to the women in the locker room right now playing for England? That do you think that weighs on them mentally?
It has to. I mean, if you're getting the message from the chief executive that your game doesn't matter and that 50% of the squad don't matter, then of course it's going to play. I still think they're probably good enough to beat everybody else. Although, as always, you have to have a sneaking regard for the men or women that wear the all-black outfit, because they're so incredibly competitive.
Yeah, Portia Woodman, she's a player. For England, the captain, number 8, Sarah Hunter, she's a player. Now, if you're the coach of England right now, are you channeling that us against them kind of thing with your own RFU?
Well, I think it's a very hard question because, you know, as a coach, I've never been a huge fan of sort of rousing speeches in the dressing room. I don't think I would have ever said, let's do this for the Gipper. That wouldn't be my style. I would be very much technical coach. But I think you would have to say to your players, if you were the English coach, you would be saying, this may be the last time that English women will win the World Cup, and I'd like you women to have your names on that trophy. I think that's the only thing I would address.
Oh, you got goosebumps going on me right now, but we're going to take a quick break and then come right back to you in Dublin, Mr. George Hook, on Rugby Wrap-Up right after this.
If you're just joining us, this is a big match and a big moment as Clijsters toes the line.
You know, John, Anderson has really been struggling out there today. Huge mistake as Clijsters clinches another title. Don't let your nutrition get in the way. USANA, the official multivitamin of the WTA.
So this is the 10th anniversary of the NYC Rugby Cup, which is hard to believe. It's come a long way. I think we've got over 60 teams here today, and they're all kitted out, representing different teams from across the country. We've always had a theme every year, and this is the culminating event for our partner programs and our community programs that work with us throughout the year to come and showcase their skills and their go-forward attitude as well. So it's super exciting to be celebrating the 10th anniversary. Thanks to AIG and Canterbury for supporting us, all the volunteers, all the sponsors, and especially the staff and volunteers. Some fantastic rugby, lots of sportsmanship, the kids still had a blast. And now, of course, now we've finished, the sun has come out. So that's the way it goes, I guess. Every day's a rugby day.
And we're back. Matt McCarthy for Rugby Wrap-Up here at the Fantasy Sports Network in Studio 34 at the Renaissance Hotel on West 35th Street. And Mr. George Hook calling in from Ireland. Coach, we were talking about the Rugby World Cup, the Women's Rugby World Cup. Who is going to win?
my money is still on England. I think New Zealand are going to be the ones most likely if England don't. America have never delivered. For the country that effectively invented women's rugby, unlike men's rugby, the USA had a start on the rest of the world. They haven't, delivered on that, and they're not going to win this tournament.
But I got to tell you, you just mentioned the Americans, Team USA. Head coach Pete Steinberg said that George Hook and Irish Rugby Tours were instrumental in this team's preparation. So if they don't win, this could be on you, coach.
Yeah, it really could, yeah. We Irish Rugby Tours, of which I'm the chairman, we brought the American team to Ireland, and we had them at the University of Limerick in their warm-up training for this event. And I go way back with Pete Steinberg, who was, of course, at Penn State. And when I was running coaching courses in America, Pete used to come. And like all Englishmen, he disagreed vehemently with anything the Irishman at the top of the room had to say.
I think that's the way things are. You got cats and dogs, and you have lips and teeth, right? So let's change gears a little bit. Speaking of cats and dogs, I don't know how this is going to segue, but the Pro 14, two South African teams joining the Pro 12, the Guinness Pro 12. Is it going to be a different beer? Are they going to use the South African beer? That would burn the house down.
The Pro 12 has never really been a number one tournament, for the reason being at the major tournament on this side of the Atlantic is the European Champions Cup, and that's what the Irish, English, Welsh, French teams want to win. The Pro 12 was invented to fill the spaces between the European Championship, so its birth was a difficult challenge to begin with. Very often, because of teams wanting to win the European Cup, they will put a reserve team in the field for a Pro 12 championship. I mean, you can't imagine the Redskins or the 49ers putting a reserve team out in American football. So therefore, the event itself has been downgraded. It also has, particularly in the shape of the two Italian teams who invariably fill the bottom two spots, there's been a lack of credibility. The arrival of the South Africans is a testament to the quality of airline travel in the world, because they're able to compete in Africa and compete in Europe. They will bring an awful lot to the tournament. The Africans are in it for the same reason that everybody is now looking at competition in the world. They're trying to fill the appropriate number of weeks because they haven't got a full schedule. So what they will do is, for instance, when Munster from Ireland will go to South Africa, they will go for 3 weeks, they'll play two games. Then when the South Africans come over here, they will stay for 3 weeks and play two games. So they're going to try and minimize the travel. They're certainly going to be attractive for the purpose of the number of people going through the gate. People are going to want to watch them because they're new and they're going to be incredibly, one imagines, competitive. I think it's good for the tournament, but the Pro 12 is still the junior competition to the European Champions Cup.
So a team from Connacht, where the wind blows the rain sideways in the middle of the cold months, playing down in South Africa for 3 weeks, or being in South Africa for 3 weeks, do you think that will have a negative or a positive impact on the players?
Well, as the I coached Connacht, and I coached Connacht against the All Blacks under Zinzan Brooke, and Zinzan Brooke said he was never so cold in his life because the wind and the rain comes in off the Atlantic.
Yeah.
And I think it starts in St. Paul, Minnesota, and finishes up in Galway. But I think the challenge is going to be much bigger for the South Africans coming to Galway than it's going to be for the Connacht players to go to South Africa. Just very interestingly, because of World War II, 1962, the British and Ireland Lions toured South Africa in 1955, and they hadn't been there since before World War II, 1938. And on the grounds of the High Veld, which of course were incredibly hard, they discovered that wearing ladies' panties under their shorts prevented grass burn. So having about 30 burly rugby players going into the ladies' underwear shop was a really interesting sight.
Well, full disclosure, Coach, I am indeed a son of a World War II vet, and I am wearing women's underwear right now. we're going to have to cut this short, so I need a prediction from you on the Pro 14. Will there be an American team in the next year, and will the Italian teams survive?
Well, the suggestion is the Washington, D.C., were looking for a franchise in the Pro 12. When you think that the Italian teams lose the overwhelming majority of their games, and Zebre actually have just gone bust, and by an expedient which might find difficulty in America, their Chapter 11 is a bit different. They've returned as the same team, but with different ownership and different shareholdings. I think the Pro 12 is going to be keen to get an American team in, not because American teams are good, not because American teams stand a chance of winning the game, but this is really a marketing exercise why they do it. So I think an American team has a really good shot at making it because there's space.
All right, so we're hopeful because then we have another excuse to get together over here, going to a Pro 14 or Pro 15 match in D.C. or Boston or Philly or New York even, and then we can come over and hang out in Dublin or in Connacht or wherever.
Well, if you wear your women's underwear to the match, I'll certainly wear my high heels.
I don't think that we can possibly pass that up. And on that note, Coach, I want to thank you for your patience putting up with our technological workarounds here. And we definitely have to have you come back on. And we'll definitely check back with you about the Rugby World Cup.
It was a privilege and an honor to be on American television, the television that had Matt McCarthy, John Madden, and Ronald Reagan on it. And for me to join that crew is pretty special.
We are now the new sports Mount Rushmore, the four of us, Coach. So with that, thank you, and we'll check in with you again soon. Cheers. Matt McCarthy for Coach George Hook, calling in from Ireland, here in New York City, talking rugby on Rugby Wrap-Up. We'll see you next time.
I'm George Hook, and you're watching Rugby Wrap-Up.